the warm welcome for many of you already and before the service. And for those of you, just repeat again, I think it was announced my name. I am Jarrett. I am a deacon of the diocese, a permanent deacon of the diocese. I'm also the chaplain of Belong Ottawa, of our day ministries, Well, Center 454, and St. Luke's Table. I wear many hats. I'm also a professor at Concordia at the Liberal Arts College, and I'm a principal of Liberal Arts College. I'm a father of two, 11 and 9. They're not here. You'd know if they were. And of course, a long active member of this diocese. It's a pleasure to be back here. I was here for John's ordination to the priesthood last. I love this place for its natural light, among other things, among other beauties you have here. It's a great pleasure to be with you, and of course, the warmth that you've given me. On the weather, right, it seems as if we were wishing for what's out there now in the not-too-distant past, and here it is, and now we'll complain about it. That is the snow. And it's fitting, I think, for this season. I like how our liturgical calendar fits and gives us different messages with our natural calendar and our secular one. One of the ways it doesn't work, however, is with Epiphany, I find, that we go from Christmas season and the highs of Christmas, the joys, at least for the most part joys, although often stresses, and sometimes for those who lose, it's not a great time of joy, but generally, we ramp up for Christmas, don't we? And then this is a kind of low season. And in fact, Epiphany has this special quality of being elastic. It can be short or it can be long. And of course, Easter is early this year after Equinox. So in fact, Epiphany is short because Easter comes so soon and comes so quickly. And so it seems as if Epiphany gets shortchanged, you could say, in the liturgical calendar, particularly this year, as it matches with our natural one. And I think we need to give Epiphany its due, and we need to understand its theme. And its theme, I think, is the encountering with the Incarnate Word, the invitation to relationship with the Incarnate Word. This is something that actually I find as chaplain that's been a bit of a challenge for me. As I've said, and as you know, I'm the chaplain of Belong Ottawa. This brings me a day a week to our day shelters, Diocese of Ottawa day shelters. The Well, which of course is primarily women's, although they also serve men at certain hours, in the basement of St. John the Evangelist Church on Elgin. St. Luke's Table, which formerly was in St. Luke's Church until the fire, and now it is temporarily housed in the Bronson Center. And Center 454 King Edward, which of course is St. Albans Church, and in the basement of St. Albans Church. I find the good news is, and I'll start with the good news, the Well and St. Luke's Table are much like they were pre-pandemic. That is, places in which a lot of activity, including things like games and socializing, but of course essentially social work, meals, laundry, these sorts of things are provided. That has been restored much to what it was before. Unfortunately, Center 454 is, the word I use to describe it is apocalyptic. It is not good. I'll give you an example of this. Several weeks ago, to give context, I tour all three places in one day. So I'll come in after opening hours to Center 454. I get in, and those of you who know the basement in St. Albans and Center 454, there's a plexiglass office, plexiglass window into the office, into the main reception area. And the manager of the site was at the phone station. I greet her as I always do, how are things going, checking in. And she said, can you check on him? I said, who? Check on who? The one lying on the floor in front of the office. A lot of what happens now at Center 454 is checking in to make sure our clients are alive. By the time I park on Daly and walk over to St. Albans, almost every time I go, I see at least two groups of people smoking crack. A good third of our participants are slumped over in a high. And unfortunately, it pains me to say that, like we had on Wednesday, a cardiac arrest in the bathroom is not a rare occurrence. Good news, he was revived and stabilized in the hospital. It's hard, therefore, to see and to think you are encountering the incarnate word in these sorts of conditions. And as a chaplain and someone who generally, you know, provides pastoral care, it's hard to provide pastoral care, in fact, impossible to provide pastoral care to those who are high. And yet, we have these readings today, and we have this season of Epiphany, and I think that there's something for us to hear. It's an invitation into relationship with the incarnate word. There's this line, though, that struck me, that struck home to my situation, or that situation in Center 454, that first line from 1 Samuel. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. This is a poignant line, and it one, I think, that needs some context. It needs some filling in as to why that line is given to us at the beginning of this passage, because, of course, this passage is, in fact, an encounter with the Lord. So it contrasts with what just follows, Samuel's calling. But there's more, because we must learn something about Eli, something about Shiloh or Shiloh. And Eli, for those of you who may remember and remember the wider story here in 1 Samuel, is not exactly a great priest at Shiloh. In fact, he's corrupt. And his sons are especially corrupt, as we're told. Now, in these days, there isn't a temple in Jerusalem. So places of worship are several. There are many. Shiloh is one of them. And therefore, you have priests and places of worship scattered all over. This is one of the primary ones, and Eli is the priest. But his sons are too. And we know from Samuel's birth that Eli, he just doesn't get it. He's not open to hearing the word. He's not open to the invitation. He at first thinks Hannah is drunk when she prays for a son, the son Samuel. And it takes him some time, just like Samuel, it takes him some time to realize that Samuel is being called. Eli's sons, we're told, are stealing from the offerings, taking more than what's their due. And more than that sacrilege, they're forcing those to give over to them. They're bullies, in other words. And they also sleep with prostitutes at the entrance to the tent. Shiloh is a center where the Ark of the Covenant resides. And the Israelites seem to treat that as a kind of magic thing, because right after this reading in 1 Samuel, the Philistines come and make war on the Israelites. And the Israelites think, everything will be fine if we just haul that ark out. The magic of the Lord will save us. It ends in defeat. Eli's sons are killed. And Eli hears that the ark is captured and drops dead. Now, this is a story of what the encountering of the Lord, of what that invitation of relationship will lead to. In other words, it contrasts with all of that corruption, all of that darkness, and invites us into a longer, deeper relationship of transformation, which is what Samuel shows. And I think there's actually a link to our second reading today in Corinthians. I know a lot of you are thinking, now we're getting to the good part, the fornication reading. This reading is not simply about that fornication. It deserves some context too. It is also a place of darkness. Corinth in its day is sort of like the, I likened it in the 8 o'clock service to the kind of Las Vegas of the ancient Greek world. It's got a reputation for excess and a reputation for corruption, for debauchery. And Paul is countering the idea that you can kind of do as you please, and if your body desires it, therefore you need it. That's the sort of attitude of our Corinthian people. And I think what Paul is speaking to is a life in relationship, one that answers that call of invitation, is not one that reflects the corruption of the world around you, but that also invites others into relationship. And that's, I think, what we see in our gospel reading. I used to be not so much of a fan of the Gospel of John. John's gospel seemed sometimes, almost in a way in which it seemed at sometimes too simplistic or at other times too complicated and not historically focused on what Jesus was doing. And then I started to realize that actually John's gospel is a really good epiphany gospel of first encountering the Word, the incarnate Word, and the awesome power to transform us, to bring us into relationship. It's not a gospel that preaches us all the things that we're doing wrong. Rather, it invites us into the center of our encounter with God. And I think it also does it in a world that says it's very dark. Remember the prologue of John's gospel? And the world did not know him. The light of the world, but the world did not know him. And this is the beginning of getting to know the light of the world. Jesus has just said to Philip, come and see. And Philip witnesses to Nathanael and says, the one who has been foretold is now here. Can anything good come out of Nazareth, Nathanael says. There's a number of ways to interpret that, by the way. And what does Philip say? The same thing Jesus said to him, come and see. Philip is transformed into a follower of the Lord and invites Nathanael. And even though Nathanael has just said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's sincere enough about wanting that hunger for the Lord and that transformation in this world of darkness to say, I'm going. And he goes. And not only does he go, but he witnesses to who Jesus is, the Son of God. That's why there's no deceit in him. He sees it clearly, and he's transformed by it. We'll meet Nathanael much, much later in the Gospel of John to one of the witnesses of the resurrection. And I think that's the answer to the darkness. It's not about a long-winded reasons why we should believe, reasons why we should deny the darkness. Rather, it's an invitation to the relationship of God that brings light to that darkness. And all we have to do in Epiphany, all we have to do is come and see. Thanks be to God.